to 1 Corinthians 13. We continue on this series of love. I know one marriage that needs to listen really heavy, I guess. Oh. I'm not going to say guilt made her know it was about her, but you know, there's a study about dangerous foods that's been out. You know what the most dangerous food you can possibly eat is? Wedding cake. I don't like jokes about marriage or taking marriage lightly. But the truth is, when we make decisions based on love, but we don't have the true meaning of love, we can hurt ourselves and others. And this is one of the reasons marriages struggle so much. It's not understanding what this thing that we call love is. And that's why we've taken 6 weeks now to really break down love. And I hope it's been challenging to you and encouraging to you. But this is the sixth and final message of the series. Love, more than goosebumps and butterflies. And even by now, you feel all lovey-dovey. You've been challenged to love as God loves, or you've caught up on your Sunday morning sleeps. One of those, right? And as we've been looking at true love, I hope you recognize that we're not just speaking about marriage. We're speaking of every relationship that we are called to have, whether it's with your spouse or your children, with your neighbor, with your enemy, or with God. And it describes what a in-depth look of true, authentic love is. Unfortunately, we're still in the flesh and we fail, but we should desire to grow every day a little more. Love a little bit better. Because we've been looking at love, and we've seen love, and we saw what the source of love is. For God is love. The only way we can truly love is if we're empowered by Him. Then we can love as He loves. We have seen the ultimate example of love, because greater love has no man than this, and He laid down His life for His friends. Jesus humbled Himself, put on flesh, was beaten, mocked, spit upon, and died for His enemies so that they could be His friends. We saw that love is about providing and protecting for someone else. As followers of Christ, and we're called to love as He loves. Because without love, anything else you do has no value. It's worthless. We saw that at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. And then here in 1 Corinthians 13, we started looking at the characteristics of love. What identifies it? How do I see it? First week we saw the positive qualities of true love. Love is patient, or it suffers long. Love is kind. We saw the attitudes of love, that love does not envy it because it celebrates with others. Love does not parade itself because it's focused on someone else. Love is not proud, because it humbles itself to serve someone else. Last week we saw the missing actions. Love is not rude, because it's considerate of someone else. Love is not self-centered, because it cares for someone else. Love is not quick-tempered or evil, because He has the best intent for someone else. You see the theme of love? It ain't about me. And if you're a teacher, you just hate that I said ain't, right? But true love isn't about myself. Today we're going to see the active ingredients of love. You know, we all grew up knowing the danger of the kitchen, yeah? Now, I'm not talking about the stove, because the hot burner, you burn yourself, or the fire that you can cause. I'm not talking about the knives, the sharp items that you could cut yourself, hurt yourself with. I'm talking about the danger of when your mama was baking bread. Anybody with me yet? Was that not dangerous? And because when Mama bakes bread and you're going to enter the kitchen, you better have twinkle toes or ninja-like reflexes. Brooke was almost there when she came into Sunday school today. Almost had that ninja reflex. She was there, but I caught her. You know what I'm talking about? That when you walk in the kitchen and bread is a baking, that you had to be careful because you were going to get blamed no matter what happened. You're going to get blamed for running, for jumping, for wrestling, for hopscotch, all because you went to get a cup of water. Am I lying? Making my mama sound bad, ain't I? Bless you.
Yes, thank you.
And the truth is, all because you just ruined the bread. No matter what you did, you ruined that bread. All because of that one ingredient in the bread did not function properly. The ingredient that makes everything else work. But man, allergic to preaching today, are you?
I'm asking for blessing.
Oh, okay. Bless you, sister.
All right.
And the bread doesn't rise, and you get in trouble all because that one ingredient failed to do its job because it wasn't treated properly. Love is much the same. No matter what you do, when love is mixed with the wrong ingredients, when it's missing the vital ingredients, or when it's treated improperly, it's not pure and true love. And it will not fulfill the purpose which love is to fulfill. So we must know what love is about and what the purpose is. So in 1 Corinthians 13, go down to verse 4, and we're going to read the same portion we've been reading. In verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, because charity never faileth. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for demonstrating the ultimate form of love and demonstrating it towards us so that while we were yet sinners, justified, forgiven, washed of our sinfulness. And Lord, that you with your Spirit empower us to demonstrate your love. Lord, I ask that your word will touch each person in this room. Give you the words to say. And Lord, that we would give the Holy Spirit the freedom to work in our lives. That you'd stop any distractions that would get our eyes, our ears, and that we would be focused on what you have to say, and that we'd apply it to our lives and each relationship that you place us in. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your presence today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as we read this passage, and we're familiar with it, in verse 6, where we're at today, we see that love rejoices. We all like to celebrate, don't we? And this love rejoices is the biggest point of today, because the rest kind of feed off of this one. But we know that true love is enjoyable. Ask any of those couples that have been married 50 plus years. I've been married 25 years in June. I'm excited. That's awesome. The sad thing is that's a long time anymore. That used to be just getting started. To some of y'all, that's just getting started. To me, I hope it's just getting started. I mean, unless I'm going to go home to the father sometime, you know. But 25 years. And you ask someone who's been married that long, they had a godly marriage, not just a long marriage, but a godly marriage. There's a big difference. But a godly marriage, one that points to the love of God, one that expresses the love of God, one that treats one another with the love of God, one that's used for God's glory. And you know what, a couple like that will tell you that even with the problems, the trials, the arguments that they had, it's still worth it. Because the love is worth the work you have to go through. Because God allows you to enjoy that relationship deeply because of the issues you go through sometimes. Here's the truth for every marriage. You've got to remember what 1 Peter 4:8 says, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity, just a fancy word for love, right? Shall cover a multitude of sins. We can remember that the love of Jesus towards us, and we can learn a lot from that love of His, that forgiveness comes easier when we understand the relationship that can be built through forgiveness. See, when we understand the love that Jesus had for us and the patience He had for us, and that because of His love He forgave our sins, we should be able to forgive a little bit easier, get through problems. And the truth is, wait a minute, problems and issues don't destroy. They teach. Problems in your life aren't going to destroy you. They'll teach you. How will you react to them? Our failure to love or forgive will destroy. Bitterness will destroy. Problems don't. So you notice here, well, when we love as Christ loves, we cannot rejoice in everything. Verse 6, it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's another word for unrighteousness or sin. And when you understand the love of God, understand the call of God to repentance, and know the destructive power of sin, you cannot take pleasure, you cannot rejoice, you cannot be glad in, you can't take joy over sin. See, God's love cannot allow you or encourage you to live in a sinful lifestyle. You and I, as believers, as children of God, should never celebrate what God calls sin. I'm not talking about the big sins that we can name off, the big ones, the hot topics of the culture. Yeah? But any sin, when we love God, we have a desire to purify ourselves, right? We have a desire to be conformed to His image. And we start to hate sin more and more, and we want to prime it out of our lives, not just out of the lives of others. Why? Because we know that sin always brings destruction. Sin always brings destruction. Believer, sin will bring destruction to you too. Maybe not damnation and hell, but it will destroy the work of God in your life. It will destroy the peace of God in your life. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. No matter the reason, the excuse, the feelings you're going through, how many people are doing it, what laws America has passed, if God calls it unrighteousness, God will not bless it. It don't matter what feeling you have. It don't matter if I understand. It matters that God understands. And God is a holy God. He never wipes away sin without having it paid for first. All sin had to be paid for by Christ, or paid for by you. We deliver our sin to Christ through faith in Him, through calling on Him for salvation. But when we desire to live in sin, there is going to be a cost. Sin will bring destruction. In Proverbs 13:6, listen to this. Wickedness overthroweth the sinner. When we allow sin in our lives, it's going to slowly take over us a little at a time. Yeah? I understand most of us don't go right into big sins. They start small. We go to alcohol very often. How many alcoholics start being alcoholics? No, you start with a drink. You know how greatness starts? Born. No! It starts with lust. Uncontrolled lust in our lives. Then it goes to heavier stuff and heavier. And we allow it to have hold and root in our life because we don't call it what it is. We start justifying, excusing, well, you just don't know my background, brother. Theft. I mean, we can go through them all. We don't need to. It starts small. We start excusing it. It don't matter what your excuse is. If God calls it unrighteousness, he cannot and will not bless it. You see, sin will blind you from what is righteous. It's going to numb you to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It'll destroy the unbeliever's joy. So if you love someone, you will not rejoice in iniquity. Yeah, but brother, what about? No, that's not what about. It's not my decision. God has already spoken. Love will not rejoice in iniquity. Yeah, but you don't understand. I don't have to understand.
Right.
I'm not the one that will judge one day. Guess what? I'm going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ too to give account for my life. I too need to have an intimacy with God so that I receive the peace of God right now. Just like you. I got good excuses for my sins. I can make better excuses than you can. Because I've got more practice at listening to them. We got good ones, don't we? But when God calls it unrighteousness, it is sin. And guess what? When it starts little, it doesn't stay little. Right. Believe it or not, I was little one time. And it'll grow and it'll steal from you. So in true love, you cannot rejoice, support, approve, or encourage a sinful lifestyle no matter how the person you love justifies it. But we do celebrate something. We don't celebrate sin. But in verse 6, the second half, it says we rejoice in the truth. Truth is the opposite of iniquity, sin. Sin started with the lies of Satan, drawing you away from God's call. Truth is what brings us joy if you're a child of God, where sin brings hurt. Truth is speaking of God's eternal word is truth. Did you know God's word is truth? He calls it that over and over in Scripture. In John 17:17, Jesus referred to it like this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Purify them, God, through your word. You want to be holy? You want to walk closer to God? You want to be conformed to his image? You better be in God's word. But not only is the word truth, but you know what? The other form of the word too. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God's Son is truth. We call him Jesus. Jesus told us that in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, we can rejoice in the truth, because truth is the Word of God, truth is the Son of God, and it is what we should do with his Word and his Son. In 2 John 1:6 is this, and this is love. What is love? What is love? Except, with me? Not the goosebump, not the butterflies. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Love is always going to celebrate and rejoice in truth. That's God's word and God's Son. Love will rejoice when we hear God's word preached. Amen?
Amen.
You get excited when God's word is preached.
Amen.
You get excited when God's word is opened up and we get to preach. You're like, hope it doesn't go past noon today. No one stopped me at the door last week and said, thank you, Pastor. I got 15 minutes to get home and see Caitlin break the record. And nobody said that last week. No. But y'all are running out of here to go see Caitlin break that record. How about them Hawkeyes? See, love is going to celebrate the preaching of God's word. Love is going to celebrate when someone places faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture says all heaven celebrates when one repents, yeah? Do you celebrate when you hear someone call upon the name of Jesus for salvation? Will you celebrate when their sins have been washed away, they've been made right, they stepped from darkness into the marvelous light? When they went from being a dead soul to a live soul, do you celebrate? That's what we should rejoice in. When someone is learning God's word, I should celebrate. When you see someone who wants to dig into God's word and learn God's word, does that make you get excited inside? Does that make you just one more prayer to the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Often on Wednesday nights in here, as we're studying through God's word, we can pause and listen to the kids sing or play or whatever downstairs. And here's a slew of them. It's awesome. And why can we get a smile on our face because some kids are having fun? No, we can go to the park for that. Right here, we know why they're there. They're having fun because they're going to learn into God's word. We rejoice in that. Do you rejoice that we have kids that are studying God's word now so they can come to a program on Easter for us?
Amen.
You rejoice that we've got a good group of men meeting on Sunday nights at my house to get into God's word? Do you rejoice there's a group of ladies being here at church to get into God's word? That's the things that should make us rejoice and get us excited. We should rejoice when someone's applying God's word. Now move from here to my life. Understand that if God's word is planted in your head and it doesn't move into action, it does you no good. Because the scripture says that knowledge puffeth up. It just made you proud. Well, I can quote 300 verses. I wish they'd change your life. But what does it say the word is? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. A sword isn't made to just carry around and look cute. A sword is made to cut, to make a difference, to protect. We have God's word. Let it work. It's to be active. We should celebrate when we see God's word being applied to someone's life and their lives are being transformed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you rejoice in that? That's love. You love your children? Be excited that they want to learn Bible stories. That should bring you joy. That's better than some touchdown and home run. That's eternal. You know, we see God's word being lived out in holiness. That is what should make us rejoice. This is why John says in 1 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Catch that? I have no greater joy. I rejoice in nothing better than when I hear that my children walk in truth. Now, we don't know that John actually had children, but he had believers that were following him, that he worked in his church. And what gives John the greatest excitement, the true motivation, was not his believers and his brothers scoring a touchdown. It's not because they got a new job and they're making more money. It's not because they graduated college. John also didn't say that he was excited because they knew truth and they could win debates now. John said he was excited. It brings him joy that they walk in truth. Amen. This means they apply the truth of God's word to their life and they're living it out by faith, meaning they're doers of the word and not hearers only. That should bring us joy.
Yeah.
Parents, sometimes we have to look for the small things in our children. We love them. We still have to see them being honest. Take joy. Oh, see them grow. You see them respect. see him be obedient. Because you're with him all the time, sometimes you don't see the slow growth. Same with your spouse, especially wives. Be patient with us men. Men, you should have all said amen on that one. Amen. My wife ain't even here. I said it for you.
Thank you.
No problem there for you, Chuck. Especially, no. And, but understand, sometimes we got to just rejoice in seeing little growth. Some of you in here a couple years ago wouldn't even be in the church. Let's rejoice in each other with that.
Amen.
Some of you didn't even know the Lord a couple years ago. Let's rejoice in that.
Amen.
You know, we get excited to see people start walking in truth, acting in obedience. That's true love right there. Love celebrates when others accept the truth of God and they place faith in Jesus Christ and they're obedient to the Word of God. Love rejoices in believers growing and worshiping and witnessing and being faithful. Love rejoices in truth. And he goes on in that same verse. I'm sorry, I think it's verse 7 now. Love what? Bears all things. Love bears. It means to cover or protect. It endures, it suffers. When we see it says bears all things, Paul's already established that he's speaking of God's word. He's not supporting sinful activity. In love, his whole goal is to help others grow. And it says their love will cause us to bear or to support or to put a cover of protection over the other. To protect those we love means we don't give up on them. We're not going to expose them to sin. I want to bear or protect the ones I love from Satan's attacks, from the enemy who's seeking who he may devour. We should be the ones that instead of exposing them to sin, we should be the ones that introduce them to the gospel. We should be the ones in love to share God's holy word, to guide people into a righteous walk with God, to pray for their spiritual well-being. You see what love does? Love turns them away from what the flesh desires to what we found out we need. That's the word of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Holy living. See this, when we do that, when we love in this way, it's a picture of the work of Jesus. Listen to this. You're probably familiar with these verses, 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. See, when we protect our loved ones, it's a picture of the protection of Jesus Christ. He protected us with his holy blood on the cross, taking God's wrath on himself. But after salvation, as believers, we still stumble, we still struggle, we still fight with sin, don't we? We all don't want to say the yeah thing. We still struggle. Yeah? And here's the cool thing, you see, talking to believers here, John is saying, listen, when you do struggle, you still have one that stands for you. Amen. Jesus' work wasn't done at the cross. He saved you at the cross. Now he's growing on you. He's working in you. He's transforming you. And when you fall in sin, remember, as believers, we simply stumble. If you can get comfortable to fall into sin and stay wallowing and playing in sin, you better make sure that you are sanctified in the first place. But when you stumble and fall into sin, Jesus is there standing to protect you. Say, no, he's mine. He's got my blood on him. He's my child. I've saved him. I've protected him. He stands for us. He represents us. He covers us because he gave us his holiness. See, when we allow our kids or loved ones to continue in sin, check this out. Without presenting God's truth to them, we can encourage their sin. Act like it's there, not there, because we're scared of how they might react if we're honest with them. It's the same thing as saying, I don't care, go to hell. Pretty heavy words, isn't it? But in love, I want to rejoice in truth. I want to rejoice in you knowing Christ. I want to rejoice in you walking with the Lord. So I am going to care. I am going to love you. Not going to nag you, but I'm going to present the truth to you. I'm going to exemplify walking with Christ. I'm going to exemplify the joy of the Lord. I'm going to share why it's so important with me. I'm going to pray for you nonstop. That's love. Love bears the weight of protection. Protecting sometimes hurts the protector. It's like taking a knife or taking the arrows for someone. It hurts the protector. And often the protected one is the one that's getting mad. Ever protected your kid from something they wanted to do? No, you're only five. You don't need to drive the car down the street. Yeah?
Amen.
She's downstairs, isn't she? And what do? When we try to protect them? He just told us, you don't understand. One of my room throw fit. Play video games. No. You're protecting them in love. And sometimes it causes them to get upset at your protection. Is it worth it in the long run? Oh, yeah. Because remember, you want to rejoice in truth. I want to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. I might have to go through a little bit of pain. But I'm not going to rejoice in something that God has been praying for. I'm going to rejoice when you allow Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. When you let the joy of God come to you. So love rejoices. Love covers. We also see that love believes. Look at verse 7. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Love believes. All things. Love should involve trust. Love should not be suspicious or critical. Love should not be seeking reasons to doubt and find fault. Satan does that in our marriages a lot. Oh yeah, boy, you spent $10 on the other day. Oh, sure, sure. Because usually you're upset at something already that's happened or things have grown. Well, yeah, who are you on the phone with? What's that email from? And we start suspecting and not believing one another, and ultimately just grows and gets worse. Seen little videos of guys stopping couples on the street saying, you trust each other. And let's do this, just a little game. Swap phones, give each other one full minute to look anywhere on your phone. And there's this frozen moment. Live in a way that represents the love of Christ and we can believe one another. We don't need to be doubting each other and be critical of everything we do, right? When a hubby shows up with flowers, don't assume he did something bad and he's trying to make up for it. Don't assume he went to the cemetery because he listened to the pastor. MacArthur says this, love is a harbor of trust. When that trust is broken, love's first reaction is to heal and restore. Love's first reaction is never revenge. Love's first reaction is, let's heal. Amen. Let's restore. In Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Right.
When someone falls into sin, the desire here is not to just abandon him and kick him when he's down. It's not to place ourselves in a position of sin either, while we still reach out to support and to build up. Don't hold it against the one you love. Have a desire to help him grow. Believe that he desires to grow. Believe that he wants forgiveness. Believe that God can work all things together for good. And what happens when trust is shattered? What happens when trust is hurt. Well, look at verse 7. What's the next one? Love hopes. Hope with all things. We have all been hurt. Bad decisions have been made. We felt rejected. We got to remember, what does God do for us when we fail Him? He calls us back, doesn't He? He forgives. He restores. You and I must have this hope of restoration. Because as long as God's grace is active, human failure is never final. Read that again for you. It's paraphrased from what I've heard from another pastor. It says, because as long as God's grace is active, human failure is never final. Listen, your mess up is not more powerful than my God's grace. Let me rephrase that. My mess up isn't more powerful than my God's grace. God didn't give up on Israel when they failed, and they did it over and over and over, going back to idolatry. And He continued to call them back and forgive them. And He still promises to use them in the end times. Jesus didn't give up on Peter when he failed and denied Him three times during Jesus' hardest time. Paul didn't give up on the church of Corinth and their failure when they were in deep sin, but instead He rebuked them and then He built them up. Each of these times, the one who failed was called back into righteousness. They were forgiven. They were restored. And God used them in mighty ways. No many marriages that have battled through hard times. Great sins. Lots of hurt. But there was forgiveness. Why? Because there was hope. I hope to restore. I have hope. In other words, hope means confidence. I know that God is going to use this. God is going to forgive. God is going to use this for His glory, for our good. And so we see love rejoices, love covers, love believes, love hopes. And finally, last one, love endures. Love endures. Endure was a military term, meaning that they must hold a vital position at any cost. They could not retreat or give up ground. They had to hold up against the enemy and not let the enemy come any further. Excuse me. They had to stop the enemy from advancing. And so they had to endure whatever happened. You see, love will stand against hardship. Love's going to suffer through the suffering. Love will wait for healing during the hurt. But love does not quit. Love is going to continue to care about the other. Love will continue to invest in the other. Love will continue to believe in the other. Love will continue to protect the other. And a true love of joy comes after it has been tested, after it overcomes trials. And the bonding has tested, the love has been proven, and growth has taken place. That's when the true joy starts to settle in. Take a second here and think of all the characteristics of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not selfish. It's not quick-tempered. It's not evil. It does not rejoice in sin, but rejoices with truth. Protects, it believes, it hopes, and endures. And we're going to close with an invitation today. I want you to think about this a little bit. With all those qualities of love, love can only be done by the work and the power of God in you. Let this settle in for a minute. True love can only be done through the power of God in you. You ain't going to do it on your own. What do you mean? See, after breaking down the characteristics of love, listening to what the Holy Spirit wants to bring in our life, listen to the work of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You compare both those characteristics of love and the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, and you see how similar they are. That's because they both come from the same person, God Himself. God is love, and that's the love we are to have for one another. And that is why the Holy Spirit comes to work through us and let us desire to love as God loves, because love never fails. Would you stand with me? As we're going to have this short time of invitation today, the piano's going to play and give us a moment to pray. Let me ask you, who comes to mind that needs to see your love, that you hope to one day rejoice in truth? You want to know one day you can celebrate to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to celebrate one day that they heed the words of God that calls them to Himself. Who's one that maybe you need to represent love to? Maybe as we walk through this, you see areas in your life that just aren't very loving. Well, that means you need to submit to the Holy Spirit a little bit more. Let me rephrase that. Maybe that means I need to submit to the Holy Spirit a little bit more. You see, this affects all of us. And we're called to love our neighbor. We're called to love each other. To love our family. Are we loving them like Christ did? Do we love them with the desire of suffering and ministering to them? And continue to love them no matter what they do, so that they can come to know Jesus Christ. We're going to have a time of invitation right now. Maybe you'll humble yourself and come and bring someone to the altar and pray for them. Maybe you want to pray with somebody. Bring them with you or go to them. Well, let's not neglect this time of prayer that God has given to us. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us, for being right here with us, Lord. I ask that you put your hand on each one of us. Lord, I ask that you bring conviction to those areas that don't reflect your love. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that will teach us and guide us and empower us to love the way you love. Lord, I ask you bring to mind maybe the people that I need to be affected to, that each one of us can reach out to. Lord, I ask that you have your way in these minutes. In your name I pray. Head bowed, nice clothes, the piano plays. Will you step out of where you're at? Simply, you can take a knee and altar. Pray with your spouse. Humble yourself on the side of the Lord and watch Him lift you up.